Welcome back to WBOI Presents. Our panel discussion on Indiana's public defender system is about to continue. WBOI News Director Rebecca Green will direct her next question at Allen County Chief Deputy Prosecutor Michael McAlexander.
Prosecutors have this problem with their caseload that needs also to be addressed, and it's hard to get county councils to want to fund that.
It takes a long time. I mean, I'm not saying that they won't, but historically they are reluctant to add additional employees.
Right, so it always comes down to money.
It always comes back to money, I think. But I do think that there are differences in how you have to handle the case. And the one thing that the defense has in terms of investigation is their client knows whether they committed the act or not. Once it's explained to them so that they understand what is against the law, they know whether they were drunk when they were driving. So they can short circuit that, and they frequently will ask not to have the whole thing investigated, but they'll ask, what's the best deal you can get for me? So every case doesn't require massive investigation. I would agree on the cases that are potentially either legally insufficient or have factual disputes. We should have public defenders that are able to go in and adequately investigate those. But I don't think we have to treat every case like it's a major felony, because it's not that complicated, and the offender wants to move on with his life. If he knows he's got to do 60 days in jail, he'd rather do it and get going. So I think we have to have a little bit of understanding of human nature, who our clientele is. The misdemeanor population is frequently different than the felony population. And because the consequences are lower, they may not be willing to participate in the same level or have the same things at risk. They're not going to prison for 20 years on a misdemeanor. At most, it's a year, and with good time credit, it's 6 months in Indiana.
If you're just joining us for WBOI Presents, WBOI News Director Rebecca Green is leading a panel discussion looking at Indiana's public defender system. The panelists are Allen County Superior Court Judge Fran Gall, Allen County Chief Deputy Prosecutor Michael McAlexander, Larry Landis, Executive Director of the Indiana Public Defender Council, and David Carroll, Executive Director of the Sixth Amendment Center. The next voice you'll hear is David Carroll.
I think one of the important points here is no one wants to build bureaucracy for bureaucracy's sake. We want to uphold the Constitution. Now, if you can scale back the number of cases so that the need for public defenders is far less than what it currently is, that's a perfect solution to this. In other states, we've seen both the far left and the far right coming together and saying, do we really need to be bringing all these cases? You can increase diversion. You can reclassify low-level nonviolent misdemeanors and felonies as infractions. One of the big things I've seen nationally is decriminalizing driving on a suspended license. These are cases a lot of people, you know, they don't pay a certain fee, they don't even know their license is suspended, they're pulled over for a broken taillight, and all of a sudden it's a criminal offense, and they potentially could lose their job and things like that. I think there needs to be some of that. I think what the key theme here is that the way we've been handling criminal justice of locking up as many people as possible has not proven to be either good for public safety nor cost effective. And so I think that's something that I've been very encouraged nationally on, is sort of having both Democrats and Republicans coming together and saying we have to think about this whole process differently.
I want to make sure we touch base on the recommendations of the task force that your organization has recommended. If you could give us a quick summary of some of the stressors on the system that your organization has identified.
The two big pieces to me is that you can't legitimize the choice not to meet the Constitution. So there does need to be a way for the state to set standards and enforce those standards. And there's plenty of examples from around the country, even states within this region, who have similar economic issues. In Michigan, for instance, at the leadership of Governor Rick Snyder, they created a Michigan Indigent Defense Commission that has the authority to set standards, and they've capped the local share of costs at what they were when the legislation took place. Any new monies that have to be expended to meet the standards, that's going to come from the state. And a lot of people were curious if that would actually come through. And just last week, Governor Snyder released his budget, and there's upwards of $60 million for state indigent defense at the trial level. Now, I don't think anyone thinks Michigan is a panacea of riches. They took the 2007-2008 recession particularly hard. And so I think there's, I do think that it's possible here. People often ask me, where's the money going to come from? I'm not an expertise in Indiana's budget. My role is to say you've got a constitutional issue. And if the powers that be want to fix a constitutional issue, someone smarter than all of us will find the money. That's been the case in state after state that I've worked in. I am encouraged here that there is a task force that involves all three branches of government, involves the counties, involves criminal justice stakeholders, to look at these issues and say, how can we go about changing these things? That's an approach that's worked in state after state. So I remain very optimistic that Indiana is going to be able to settle this. The final piece on the money I just want to bring up is that if it isn't fixed, the only alternative is litigation. And what we've seen, one of the results of the presidential election, no matter where you fall on the political spectrum, is that the ACLU got a lot of donations, and a lot of that money is being spent on this issue. So they're suing California, Nevada, Utah, Washington, Missouri, Mississippi. There's lots of litigation going around about these exact same issues that we found in your state. So it could be that with the task force, with that outside pressure, that the political will is starting to come around to really figure out what's best for the citizens of Indiana on all of these issues.
What are we doing here in Indiana, Mr. Landis, to try to shore up the indigent council system?
Well, when the task force report came, or the Sixth Amendment Senate report came out, Public Defender Commission took its time to kind of dive into it and figure out what they should do, and they decided they should put together a broad-based task force with all three branches of government. So we've got the governor's office, we've got Supreme Court justice, we've got trial judges, we've got academics, we've got, you know, a great group that is looking at Indiana's system and trying to figure out, you know, where are we strong, where are we weak? How do we build on our strengths of what we have? And we have plenty, actually. We've got a public defender commission with statewide standards. The standards are good. It's kind of a carrot and stick approach. The problem is the carrot's too small, and there's really no stick, because there's no enforcement. There's no sanction for non-compliance with the standards. The county can just drop out and continue to do what they want. So we're looking at how do you fix those, looking at the other states, including Michigan that was mentioned, and trying to figure out are there pieces of other states where we can enhance our system using basically, you know, the existing strengths we have, and try to get more state money to the counties, because that's a key, and more oversight, and probably some more independence in the places where we need it. So that's what the task force is looking at. They're now doing, we call it a listening tour, but it's really kind of public hearings going around the state to listen to public defenders, judges, prosecutors, citizens, clients, whoever wants to talk about the system, and hopefully come up with some recommendations for the legislature next year.
What are you hearing on your listening tours, if I may? I'm just curious.
We're hearing, what you would expect, things we talked about. There's a wide variety of systems. Some of the flaws are the lack of independence. There's no oversight, no accountability, no consequences for bad services, inadequate resources, inadequate compensation, excessive caseloads. Those are like the big six.
Mr. McAlexander, what would you identify as something that could improve Indiana's public defender system?
You know, I think we're a little spoiled, as I said earlier, in Allen County, because for the most part, we have a very high-quality group of attorneys. I think when I look out to the future, one of the things that concerns me is that the only way you get trial experience now is in the criminal system. Almost all the civil litigation is going to mediation. It gets settled. They have very few actual trials. So if we want good trial representation, we're going to have to develop the lawyers within the prosecutor's offices and within the public defender structure. And this is one where I do agree. I think that the public defenders have historically been kind of independent contractors, and there are good reasons for that, for conflict rules. But it also, I think, has not given them a sense of identity and purpose together. I mean, they're all like the Lone Ranger, dealing with their individual case instead of seeing the bigger picture. And I think that's something that has been institutionalized because they respect the independence of that individual lawyer. Where in our office, we can set plea policies. You know, a burglary is going to get in this range.
This is how we do things.
Yeah. But we don't have that among the public defenders. So I think that creates probably some problems of perception of uniformity or the lack thereof. But I also think long term, when I look at some of the people that have been our long-term public defenders, a lot of us are getting rather gray, and in another decade, we may not be there. And there aren't a lot of 30-year-old public defenders. We have some younger staff. We regularly recruit folks just out of law school. But the public defenders, I think they've got one on staff right now, and that's the first person straight out of law school that they've had in a long time. So I do think there's some things like that. If we want to maintain even the system that I think is pretty good in Allen County, we're going to have to do some planning to ensure that it stays that way.
To kind of piggyback on that, there's no training. I mean, if you got somebody right out of law school and you were hired into the prosecutor's office, there's training provided. There is no such training component with the public defenders. So you get these kids right out of law school, and they don't even know that when they file a motion, they need to submit an order, that they need to set that motion for a hearing. So a lot of the training is happening in the courts, where they're coming in and they're floundering around, and I feel very bad for them, and they need to be, there just needs to be some kind of formalized training structure to get these folks up to speed so that they can provide high-quality, effective representation.
Mr. Landis, I want to give you the last word on public defense in Indiana. What do you think is the lowest-hanging fruit to address to solve the problems that we see in our public defender system?
Well, I think the lowest-hanging fruit to solve a lot of the problems would be if the legislature would say that the standards adopted by the Public Defender Commission were mandatory, and all counties must comply. If we're going to stick with a county-based, county-funded system, then we've got to have state standards that are mandatory for every county. You don't get an option to not comply with those quality standards. And then we have to figure out the funding mechanism for what happens if they don't, and how do you do enforcement. Some states, what they have done is to do a county-based system like that, but say, if you continually do not comply with state standards, we will have a state takeover. And then the State Public Defender Commission can appoint a chief public defender or somebody to take over that system and then hire the right people. And in some counties, we may have to go to a regional system. We've got some small counties that really, they can't even find lawyers, enough lawyers to provide representation. And so it might make more sense to do some regional representation or regional offices with local lawyers so you can do the oversight, and you can have some support services. You can have paralegals, social workers, investigators out of a regional office that wouldn't be cost effective out of a really small county. So those are just a couple of the things that I think are doable, and it wouldn't be a radical change. It would just, but the mandatory state standards would probably have the biggest impact quickly.
Can we fix this?
Absolutely. I've been in state after state, and it almost always starts with, but Mr. Carroll, you don't understand this is, and then fill in the blank of that state. Every state is unique. Every state has to have their own unique solution. Unfortunately, this isn't a cookie cutter off the shelf model that you just import and say, well, Massachusetts does it this way or Colorado does it this way. It really does have to take in the uniquenesses of Indiana. And I think regionalization in certain parts of the state's probably part of the answer. But I do feel very optimistic that you've got good leadership. Former federal judge John Tinder is the chair of this task force. I've been very impressed with And the people that are on that task force are really taking this seriously. So I think the citizens of Indiana can be proud of that. And I think you can definitely fix these issues.
This has been an episode of WBOI Presents. I want to thank all of our panelists for taking part in this discussion. Tonight's conversation is brought to you by IPFW's College TV and the Mike Down Center for Indiana Politics. Our music is provided by Mark Waldick. I'm Rebecca Green. Next week, we will present the February News Roundup, and Folk Tales is next. Thank you all for listening.